Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. Today, we're talking about your fertility program on today's program and taking your calls as well at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us an email, radio@agphd.com. Got Eric Moore with us right now with Soil Warrior. Eric, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you getting along?
Well, pretty well. We're working on a lot of year-end planning here with a number of farmers, and one of those biggest areas of concern is the fertility program. And I was talking to a young farmer this week about what should be my first equipment expense on the farm, and we were talking about the planter and how important it is to get that seed right. And he said, well, what would be right behind the planter for you? And I said, well, the strip-till rig would be really, really important as well because we're building a seed bed and placing fertility. What kind of difference have you seen with that deep placement and placement right where you're going to put the seed?
You know, I think what we really want to look at, and it's an important piece, is that strip-till equipment, because that's what creates the seed bed. That's what gives you that opportunity to get your stand establishment and for that crop to get nutrient uptake. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, deep or shallow placement, really we want to do a combination of both. You know, we have an attachment on our Soil Warrior, what we call the cogwheel, that allows us to get that deep banded placement where we can do tillage up to 10 to 12 inches deep. We can get a vertically integrated zone of fertility placed in the fall with that. And then we can come back in the springtime with our Coulter system and get that nutrient-rich zone that's, you know, up to 6 inches deep and up to 6 inches wide or even wider, where we're trying to get that root mass, whether it's deep roots late in the season or the upper root mass where 70 or 80% of our root mass is at, all in contact with nutrients, and still keep that concentration high enough that we don't get the tie-up that a broadcast application would do. So that young grower is 100% accurate on if he's trying to see what's going to pay back that return of investment on equipment purchases. You have to have a great planter that does that metering and that precision placement of that seed, but you also have to have that strip-till equipment that gives you a good seed bed, creates that nutrient-rich zone where 80 to 100% of your root mass is in contact with a good nutrient-rich environment.
Yeah, it just makes it so much more efficient. There's no question about it. The other thing, Eric, that I would like you to comment on is drought tolerance. I had a question earlier this week about this that, well, it's all due to the new advancements we've had in seed that we can handle drought so much better. And I said, well, I agree that the seed has gotten better, but this nutrient placement issue can really have an impact on drought. You operate in some pretty dry areas of the country, Eric. What differences are you seeing out in the field?
You know, it's interesting because we know we can affect a plant's drought tolerance by managing compaction. If we manage compaction, we can get better root development deeper in the soil and get those roots where that water's at. But we can also impact a plant's drought tolerance or its root distribution by fertility placement. It's interesting you ask that because I was reading an article last weekend that indicated if once a plant's roots find a band, that's where it puts a lot of its root mass in, and it'll stop developing roots in the other part of that soil. So we can, having a deep placement of nutrients can encourage root placement deep, but it can also discourage roots in the rest of that soil profile. So that's where I really like to encourage growers to look at their total fertility program, not only in bands. If we've got a very low testing nutrient levels in our soils, we need to look at trying to get a little better distribution of nutrients out there so we encourage more root development and encourage and increase that drought tolerance late in the season as well.
You know, you mentioned the distribution of nutrients in the soil, and this is one of the things where when I talk to no-till farmers, and I really hope I don't offend anybody by saying this, but a lot of times guys will be defensive and think, well, you guys are against no-till or something like that. No way. I love reducing tillage. But one of the challenges we always had in our no-till system was that we saw so much nutrient stratification, and moving those nutrients a little deeper, I think, is worth the trade-off of having just a little bit of an area in our field tilled up. What do you see in terms of that stratification issue? Do you see a lot of guys switching to strip-till for that reason?
I think it's a big benefit. I'm an advocate of no-till because of the water conservation practices that it brings. you know, any time that we can reduce those evaporative losses, that's always been a huge benefit of no-till. But as an agronomist, I looked at the challenges of any tillage practice or no-tillage practice, either way, and getting that nutrient placement, managing our residues was something that we always encountered as a challenge with no-till. And that's really the benefit of strip-till, is be able to get those nutrients placed a little deeper in the soil, manage that stratification, but still keep the advantages that no-till brings us in that water conservation and erosion control.
All right, so the conventional till guys, a lot of them that we talk to, Eric, say, well, your strip-till talk is great, but I can cover so many more acres by broadcasting. How do you combat that argument?
You know, you can cover the acres with your, maybe with your broadcast spreader, but you have to look at the total time of that production system. We might be able to take a spreader rig and go across those acres really fast, but are we getting the nutrients where we need them? How accurate is our distribution? And then add in the time that it takes to incorporate those nutrients. How many tillage passes does it take to get nutrient incorporation and then develop your seed bed and mitigate compaction? If you can do all those with a single pass with a strip till rig and have one pass instead of 4 to 6 passes, I think your overall time of production is greatly reduced with strip till.
All right. The other question, Eric, that we've been getting quite a bit of this fall, and a lot of times in the fall, the questions revolve around nutrients that are leachable, nitrogen, sulfur, boron, those kinds of nutrients that don't hold very well, especially in the lighter soils. What about in the medium to heavier textured soils? Do you see guys utilizing those in fertilizer applications in strip till as well?
We do, and it depends, again, whether they're in soils, not only the soil structure, but what's the climate like. If we get to where we have an excess of water and water management, tile lines are a part of your management system, then we really need to manage those mobile nutrients differently in springtime applications or different applications. If we're in soils that have, you know, good nutrient holding capacities and very arid environments, we can put those mobile nutrients on in the fall as well. My opinion, I like to see, if possible, a two-pass operation where we would put those pretty stable nutrients, our potassium and phosphorus, we could place those at pretty good levels in the fall, come back with a second kind of a freshening operation where we would dress those zones up, warm them up in the springtime, place our mobile nutrients in the springtime, and have them available right as that crop comes out of the ground. So I think that's probably an advantage in those areas where nutrient mobility is a concern. A two-pass operation might have some advantages.
What about for heavy residue, Eric? Do you find guys having to go with a Coulter cart in front of a strip-till operation, or can you manage it all in one pass?
You know, with our system, we have people that do both. With our Coulter system, it'll really flow through a lot of residue. So if you don't want to do that vertical till operation, we've got a strip till machine that will manage that residue without having to do that vertical till. If that's just part of your residue management operation, it's not going to hurt us, but it is an extra expense to do that ahead of it.
Yeah, we've found with the chopping corn head, we can make it through with one pass and things turn out quite well. And just getting away from the big, long chunks of stalks, that really helped us out in our strip till.
Yeah, and I think that's a critical part to any residue management or residue flow considerations, is the size of that residue at harvest time. If you can get your residue sized and then distribute it evenly across the width of your harvest width of your 16-row, 12-row, whatever row that your corn head is, your head is, even distribution and sizing is critical for any operation, whether it's strip-till or planting.
Yeah, we're working on lots of things here to help break that residue down and release those nutrients back to our crops a little quicker. We'll be talking more about those on upcoming shows. Eric Moore, really appreciate having you on today. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Darren.